to the common person, it really doesn't make any sense. It seems like a very drastic story. The first part of the story is also told in Luke's gospel. But in Luke's gospel, when the king sends out his slaves the final time, he tells them to go to the poor, the lame, the blind, the crippled. So there in Luke's gospel is that common theme of reaching out to the marginalized. Matthew's gospel doesn't mention what kind of people, other than to say there were good that were called into the banquet and there were bad. Everybody in the streets, everybody throughout the territory was called into the banquet. There's a similar version of the parable in the apocryphal gospel of Thomas, a gospel that didn't make it into the canon. But the last section of this passage, the part about the guest who's not wearing the wedding robe, is unique to Matthew's gospel. Keep in mind that Matthew is writing to a very Jewish audience, Jews who had come to believe in Christ, but Jewish nonetheless. And it's also the time when the Romans were really persecuting the Jewish people and sacked the city and burned and destroyed the temple. So references to burning in this story might very well be because things really were burning in Jerusalem. Now, as I did research on this passage, I found as many interpretations as there were articles that I read. It seems like there weren't many real clues as to what this passage was talking about, other than what sounded like the obvious that we've heard in our previous 2 weeks, that God sent the prophets to the people of Israel, but they were rejected. And now God is sending his son, but he's rejected. So God is opening the kingdom to any and all. But I found some interpretations that went a different way and that I found to be very enlightening. A lot of people compared the king to God and their interpretations. But the problem with that is that God comes off very vindictive in this gospel. Doesn't start out that way. I mean, he gives a wedding banquet, sends out invitations, sends his slaves to remind people time to come. They don't respond. Sends them out again saying, a meal's ready, the calves have been or are fattened and have been slaughtered, and the oxen have been slaughtered, and the aroma is just incredible. You don't want to miss this feast. they still don't come. But then the wedding guests start to torment the slaves and ultimately kill them, to which the king responds with violence. You're going to kill my slaves? Then I'm going to kill you murderers and destroy your city. Again, think of what's going on in Jerusalem in the year 70 AD. And then the slaves are told, invite everybody to come in. But then again, at a wedding feast, the host usually provides a wedding robe or a wedding garment, probably not that dissimilar to the alb that I'm wearing. The wedding robe made everyone look alike. Didn't have some people looking all rich and fancy and others looking poor. It made everyone equal. But one guest, even though the robes were given to the guests, chose not to wear it. And the king questioned him on it, and he had no answer. He was speechless. To which the king said, bind him hand and foot, and throw him into the outer darkness. Again, more violent images. Is this how we think about God? Rather, in one particular interpretation that I read, it was the mercy of God, the grace of God that was being rejected by rejecting coming to the wedding feast. When the invited guest chose not to come, perhaps it was because they did not feel worthy. Hear what it says. The slaves went to some, and one went to his business, and one went to his farm. They did things that made them feel worthy in their eyes. Having a good business, having a good farm, gave them prestige, gave them money, gave them power. These were the things they believed made them worthy. And the injuring and killing of the slaves was a way of saying, no, I know what makes me worthy. I reject what the king is doing to try to make me worthy. By the same token, when all the people, good and bad, are invited to the wedding feast, one comes in without the wedding robe. He felt able to come to receive God's gift of grace and mercy. But somewhere along the line, he couldn't erase the fact that he too felt unworthy and just could not put on that robe. And when the guests are destroyed and The guest who would not put on the robe is bound and thrown into the outer darkness. Perhaps this is the hell that we create when we reject the things that truly make us worthy, namely the blood of Christ and salvation that comes through him and him alone. When we try to feel worthy based on our works, based on our accomplishments, based on our possessions, we are creating an inner turmoil, an inner hell for ourselves. Because God wants us to know that we are worthy because Christ has made us worthy. Not because of anything we've done, but all because of Jesus' saving work on the cross. This parable, or these two parables combined into one, are a way of telling us that what truly makes us worthy is allowing Christ to live in us and through us, and accepting the gifts that Christ brings, and not trying to do things on our own. Hear again this one verse. Then he said to his slaves, "The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy." They weren't worthy because they rejected the fact that Christ makes them worthy. They rejected the gospel. And the suffering and the pain were things that they brought on and that they created for themselves. My brothers and sisters, what's wonderful about this text is the stress on the fact that the gospel is for all people, good and bad, that we are all treated equally in God's eyes, thus we wear the same garment. There is to be no distinction between us. God wants all in his kingdom. But that being a child of God, being a member of the body of Christ, the church, means believing in and receiving the gifts that Christ gives: grace, salvation, mercy, forgiveness, love. When we reject these to do our own thing, thinking that we can do a better job, we know how to make ourselves worthy, we are rejecting God. We are rejecting Jesus. And we form our own hell. But the good news is that that mercy, that forgiveness, that grace, that salvation is always available. and we can always return to Christ and accept the gifts he gives, because they and they alone make us worthy indeed. Amen.